1 Corinthians 13. And I want to focus on one verse tonight, verse number 11. And in fact, let's just start in verse number 10. We'll read into verse number 11. It says, But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We'll spend some time tonight, if we can, talking a little bit about the marks of maturity. Growing up. You know, growing up doesn't have anything to do with age. I've known some young people who are more mature than some adults. Is it just me, or have you noticed that society is getting more childish? I mean, adult content. Really? Mature themed. I don't watch a lot of television, but I'm aware of some of the stuff that's on TV. I typically stick to YouTube videos and those kind of things. But I am appalled at some of the mature adult cartoons. Something about cartoon doesn't say adult. But, I mean, seriously, childish, selfish, ignorant, uncontrolled, undisciplined, crude, rude behaviors are not adult. They're childish. So I'm going to look at some things tonight, if we can, just in this and several passages of Scripture, talk a little bit about spiritual maturity, growing up. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll bless tonight, Lord, the next few minutes as we just open the book. And Father, we look at some passages of Scripture, and then, Father, would you please look into our hearts. Show us areas in our lives where, even in our 60s, 70s, and 80s, we need to grow up. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to go from this place being more mature, being more committed to growing in the Lord, growing as an American, growing as a citizen, growing as a father, as a mother, growing as a teenager, growing as a child. Father, growing spiritually, that we might, in a very childish world that we're living in, be a light. And so I pray that you'll bless to that end this message tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, and amen. Paul, in this passage, lists several things that charity is or is not. And the passage of Scripture, some call it the great love passage, and pastors talked about that, and that charity, of course, a much stronger word. I want you to notice that the word charity in this passage of Scripture is more of a choice than it is an emotion. And so in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is explaining a little bit about what charity is and what it is not. And all of those things come together in verse number 11. When he says, now that I am an adult, now that I'm a man, I put away childish things. In other words, all of those things which we talked about earlier in this chapter, and without reading them, just things like impatience and unkindness, and things like envy and pride, and things like rudeness and selfishness and just evil thinking, and just all of those things listed in that passage of Scripture. Paul says, I put those things away. They were childish things. That's childish behavior. That's what you would expect out of a toddler or someone very young of age. And Paul says, those just are not the things that ought to be named as a Christian. And so I want to look at some things tonight, And we're going to go to several passages, so have your Bible ready. How to recognize maturity. How to recognize someone who's growing in the Lord. Someone who is attaining maturity in their Christian walk. And so we're looking for some of those things, all right? Paul said in this passage that that I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. So there's some things that we say, there's things that we think, there's things that we do that are childish things. And he says, I put those things away. And so I'm going to look at some things that were put away and some things that you can use to recognize maturity. All right? This will be helpful, Mom and Dad, for you to recognize whether your teenager is maturing or not. So be helpful, teenagers, to recognize whether Mom and Dad are mature. Right? So we're going to look at these things tonight, and I'm going to look in my mirror, and you look in your mirror, okay? And we'll talk about them. The first one I want to show you, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, and look at verse 2. The first thing that you can recognize about someone who is attaining or reaching that level in their life where they're beginning to mature, and that is someone who craves the truth. He has a craving for truth. Wants to know the truth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, wherefore, laying aside, here's some childish things, all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And then he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. I want you to notice that word sincere. It isn't just desiring the milk of the word. You and I ought have a desire for the word of God. But it's more than just a desire for the word of God. It's a desire for the sincerity that comes in the word of God. It's a desire for the truth. I want to know the truth. Boy, are we being lied to today. We were talking earlier about television and boy, I'll tell you, the advertisements, they love to lie to you, don't they? Boy, you buy this product, man, it's the best product on the market and you can't live without it. And if you order now, we'll give you a second one, just pay a separate fee. And all of the things that we're told. And I want to know the truth. What's the real truth here? I'm to the point where I don't trust anybody anymore. I don't know about you. I don't know who's telling the truth and who's not. So I just question it all. All right, we'll just let God sort it out one of these days, and we'll know the truth. And Peter said here that as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of, desire the truth of the Word of God. Desire those things that are true. I'll tell you, when you take the Word of God and you can compare it to what you're hearing. I was playing around a little bit today. And this global warming thing's got me. And I'm trying to stay with politics tonight. But this whole global warming, this whole climate change. And they're saying now that they've been measuring the ocean temperature. And it's warmer today than it was in 1850. I'm thinking, wait a minute. How did they measure water temperature in 1850? They took a bucket and dipped it off the side of the boat and brought it up into the boat and tested the water. Depending on where they were at and what the current was and the temperature of the water could vary, and a totally inaccurate way of measuring anything. But yet we want to go back and say, okay, now science has proven that since then till now, the water temperature has warmed. What time of year did you test? Yeah, I mean, I just, it's hard to believe anything that I'm told. And so, the sincere milk of the word, the sincere word, I just trust God. Amen. You know, God said this place is going to burn up with a fervent heat anyway someday. So yeah, I mean, God talked about global warming long before, right? It's amazing how gullible we can be. You know what the word gullible means, right? Yeah. You believe anything. Children believe what you tell them. Right? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's go for some sincerity. I want to know the truth. Don't feed me things to see how gullible I am. By the way, did you know gullible's not in the dictionary? Look it up sometime. You don't believe me. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. I mean, if you're going to look it up when you get home. Some of you are on your cell phones right now trying to find a dictionary. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 14 and 15. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, teachings, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. Grow up. Amen. Quit believing everything you hear. All right? That's how false preachers and false teachers get their followings, get their crowds. They take gullible people. Don't be gullible. Let's grow up. Let's be mature. Let's seek the truth. Let's know the truth. Jesus said it's the truth that sets you free. Free from what? Free from all the stupid lies that you're being fed by social media and other things. By the internet. You can believe, you know, right, everything on the internet. It's all true. Number two, how to recognize maturity. A mature man controls the spirit. Controls the spirit. Spirit's an interesting word there. It is a word that talks a little bit about your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions, those things, controlling the spirit. Emotional control. You know, we're emotional creatures. God made us that way. God gave us emotions. But God expects us to have a handle on, a control on those emotions. Emotions are powerful. You respond to something emotionally, you're probably going to make a mistake. Children respond to their emotions. A thermometer is something you can test the temperature with. If it's cold, it goes down. If it's hot, it goes up. Hot and cold, hot and cold. It moves, it goes with whatever the outside circumstances are. That's a thermometer. A lot of us, emotionally, are thermometers. Oh, we're happy when things are going good. But the barometer falls into the tank when things are not going our way, not going the way we want them to go. Do you know what a thermostat is? A thermostat's that thing you dial on the wall that controls the outside atmosphere. The thermostat in this building is set to keep it at the temperature it's at. And a few Sundays ago, we understood that. Right? So what are you tonight, a thermometer or a thermostat? Well, childish or mature? Mature. What are you? You can control your emotions. It's your choice. Wait, if you just study the Bible, there are men and women in the Bible that teach us maturity. Daniel taught us maturity. He wasn't in the greatest of situations and circumstances. Daniel was ripped from his home. His parents were more than likely murdered. He was taken to a place where he didn't belong, and he didn't accept the culture. He didn't accept the lifestyle. He was in the middle of a situation that was politically disastrous. And Daniel kept control of his emotions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego held on to their emotions. They didn't lose control. You look at people like Joseph. What a roller coaster Joseph was on. Out of favor one day, in favor the next. Out of favor again, in favor again. Out of favor again, in favor with the Pharaoh. Back and forth, up and down, back and forth. But Joseph maintained his emotions. Job, at the very lowest point in Job's life, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I don't understand everything that's happening. And I'm suffering greatly. But I know who's in charge. I know who's on the throne. That's maturity. That's maturity. Paul and Silas, beaten, bleeding, chained, dark prison, sang praises unto God. That's maturity. That's maturity. So your emotions are your choice. You choose your emotions. Secondly, you can control your emotions. If you don't believe that, have you ever been in a situation where you were angry and you were saying things and you were upset and all of a sudden the phone rang? Oh, hello, how are you? You controlled them. You controlled them. Or you and your wife are fussing and the kid comes around the corner. You can control your emotions. A mature person controls their emotions. In fact, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, the Bible says this, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth, takes control of, has a handle on, is in charge of, he that ruleth his spirit, than he that taketh the city. Proverbs 25, 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. The Bible clearly says you can rule your emotions. A mature Christian gets control of their emotions. They don't let their emotions control them. Maturity. Good way, parents, to tell if your teen's maturing or not. How emotional is she? Is he? Number three, your emotions determine your responses. How you respond will be in direct relation to your emotions. You respond with anger, guess what? You respond frustrated, you say things you shouldn't say. Paul said, I spake as a child. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I said things that a child would say. Your responses can be determined by your emotions. Proverbs 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear. Proverbs 29, 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Proverbs 17, 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Proverbs 16, 18 and 19, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 15, 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. What is he saying? He's saying, God is saying in these passages that how you respond is in direct relationship to your emotions. Control your emotions, you control your response. You can get a handle on how you handle things if you can grasp a hold of those emotions. A mature man controls his emotions. By the way, your emotions can be contagious. Huh? If you're angry, guess what you're going to do to the people around you? If you're frustrated, guess what's going to happen to the people around you? If you're happy and you show it, guess what happens to the people around you? Your emotions are contagious. In fact, here's a verse of scripture to verify that. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Go there. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Some great instruction here. Proverbs 22, verse 24, the Bible says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul." You hang around with somebody who is out of control emotionally, guess what? You're going to learn to be out of control emotionally. You want to get a grasp on your emotions? Find somebody who's mature enough that has a grasp on their emotions and hang around them. And that'll help you a great deal to get a hold of your emotions. Well, not only emotions, but the physical control. Emotional control, physical control. Physical control. Romans 6, verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you may that you should obey it in the lusts thereof." 1 Corinthians 6:16. Look there, you should be back. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 16. Trying to be practical tonight. Christian maturity. A mature Christian has control physically. 1 Corinthians 6:16. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." There is an expectation of a mature Christian to be in control of the body, of the flesh. Now that goes, I mean, this is going to borderline on meddling a little bit, I suppose. Controlling the flesh talks about a lot of different things. Everything from eating to exercise. Being able to pass on that Krispy Kreme donut. So it's been 2 years since I had been diagnosed with some health issues. And so we went drastically on a diet and began to put away the pleasures of life and all of those wonderful food products that Brother Kelly brings every Sunday, and watching y'all snag them up. And I get a few and I take them to work and give them to the guys at work and stuff. And that's the hardest time for me, is to see, honestly, to see those apple fritters in that box and not want to take it home, put about 8 seconds in the microwave, smear it maybe with a little butter, and eat the thing. But I can't, because my wife is watching. There's an expectation of God for Christians to mature to the point where they have control over the fleshly desires, fleshly lusts, those things that please the body. One of the hardest things for any one of us to do is fast. Yet the Bible's full of illustrations and examples and instructions for fasting. That's hard to do. Especially when you're looking at a box of Krispy Kremes. There are other things physically. How we take care of our bodies. Getting rest. Getting exercise. Those are all things that a mature Christian does. A mature person takes care of the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God, and God is in charge, and we are to glorify God with our bodies. And God cannot be glorified when we let our bodies get run down, and we let our bodies get to the point where we cannot serve God with our bodies. And this has been a long, lifelong lesson for me. And for the last 2 years, it's been a struggle. Because that is an area in my life where I did not have control. And I've had to learn to control it. Our bodies. Then there's a third emotion, or a third part of that, and that is our mental control. Our mental control. Somebody once said, thoughts result in actions. Actions repeated become habits. Habits continued form character. What you think is who you are. How you think is who you are. 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look in the mirror today at your thought life. How is your thought life today? What did you think about? What did you ponder on? What did you meditate on? Where did you allow your mind to go? Are you in control of your thought life? First Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. God has an expectation of a mature Christian to control his thoughts, to keep his thoughts in check. So how do you tell a mature Christian? Well, I said he craves the truth. He controls the spirit. Lastly, I'll say he's consistent in his character. He's consistent in his character. We're supposed to be Christ-like. I read my Bible that said Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's consistent. He never changes. By the way, that's how come we can trust him. Because he doesn't change. Can I just say that? A mature Christian can be trusted. Because he's consistent. He's consistent. This is tough for us because we come to church and we all look spiritual. I mean, we're spiritual. And then we get in the car, or we go home, and we leave our spiritual. I'm saving my seat for next Sunday. That's why I'm going to leave my spiritual right there in that seat, so that when I come Sunday, I can pick it up again. Nobody else will sit in my seat. My spirit's right there. My spirit consistent. Can people say that about you? He's just consistent. Just, I can always depend upon that person. They're consistent. So a mature person is trustworthy. I mean, have you ever said when you got up in the morning to go to work, have you ever said to yourself, I wonder what kind of mood the boss will be in today? Well, I sure hope he's in a good mood. Sure, I sure hope she's in a good mood today. Husbands, has your wife ever had to say, kids, let's just leave daddy alone for a while, okay? Consistent. A mature person is consistent. And then lastly, I said lastly, but this is lastly. A mature person is conscious with their choices. Conscience with their choices. Ephesians 4:14, the Bible says that we henceforth no more be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But remember, we read this earlier, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Growing up consciously, choosing to be mature, making a choice to be mature. Some of us tonight need to just make a decision that we are going to mature in whatever area the Holy Spirit spoke to us about. We're going to grow up in that area. We're going to be mature. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where we started out, I want you to look back again at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 11. We'll close with this. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, listen to what he says, I put away childish things. You see that conscious decision? Paul said, I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. All of those things I did, all that childish behavior, all that childish actions, all of those childish thoughts, all of those childish things. Paul said, I am making a conscious decision to put them away. To put them away. Not, well, I don't think I was all that bad, or I think I'm mature enough, or Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul said, I haven't attained. I'm not there yet. I'm still growing. And that ought to be the attitude of every Christian in this room tonight. I'm still growing. There are still things in my life that I need to consciously put away. That I need to say, I'm going to mature in that area on purpose. You can tell a mature Christian because there's someone who wants to grow. Who wants to mature. Who wants to change. It's about choosing to be mature. Young people tonight, some of you need to choose to grow up. There's some things in your entertainment, or there's some things in your music, or there's some things in your friends that you just need to say, I need to put that away. I need to lay that down and grow and mature. Moms and dads, there's some things tonight we need to say, I need to make a decision to mature in that area of my life. To grow in grace. Grandmas and grandpas tonight, I need to quit being a grumpy old man. I need to quit being a cranky lady. I need to mature. I need to be consistent. I need to grow.